knowing where we're going. You notice I say not heaven. A lot of people aim to go to heaven, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's not where you're going. The aim should be to know Jesus, because remember what Jesus said to the people? He said, one day many, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, and what will he turn and plainly tell them? Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. I never knew you. See, if we don't know Jesus, we're not going to heaven. So our goal, our destiny is to know Jesus. This is what the scripture says. Jesus is our predestination. And we're going to look at that this morning. Romans 8, 28 and 29 actually says this. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's purpose from the beginning. Do you remember? On the sixth day, one of the last things that God made before He rested and blessed the seventh day, is this in Genesis chapter 1, we read this. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, and the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, and according to our likeness. This was God's purpose from the very beginning, that the mankind that He created to be on the earth would be a mankind that was in His image and His likeness. And we know what happened to the first Adam. The first Adam fell, and the image of God was marred and corrupted in Adam and Eve. And we've all been affected by that. So when God wanted to make a new race of men, to fulfill His original purpose, He sent the last Adam, the new head of the race. He sent His Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, this is what we read of Jesus, who is the image of God. We read this in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. So, it's since Jesus is the express image of God, Jesus as the Son of Man was exactly what God intended man to be. The image of God. So our predestiny is to be conformed to the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Therefore, our purpose for you and I is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's our purpose. Now, what does this mean? Okay, that's a question for us. What does it mean for you and I to be conformed to the image of Jesus? How are we to be like Him? It intimidates some people because they think, well, I'm not to go around working miracles or raising the dead. It can't mean that, because that's not what I'm doing. So what does it mean for you and I to be conformed to the image of Jesus? What does it mean for us to be like Jesus? Well, I want to break it down this morning, just to simplify it for three ways, okay? Every one of us here can be like Jesus in these three ways. We can be a son who loves our Father. He was a son who loved His Father. We can be a servant who loves our neighbor. Jesus was a servant who loved His neighbor and went about doing good. And we can be in a way, an intermediate, a Savior who lays down our life for the sake of others. And I just want to look at these three ways that we can become like Jesus. Let's look at the first one, beginning. A son who loves our father. You know, it says of Jesus, we don't have very much about his early childhood, but we do know this, that he grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Can you do that? Can you grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Can you grow in wisdom? Can you grow in stature? Can you become more like your Heavenly Father? And can you live in such a way that at work, at home, with your spouse, with your friend, with your neighbors, the favor of God is on your life because they see a man filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the grace of God, doing the good work of God? Can you do that? We can do that. By the help of God, by the grace of God, we can do that. Can we learn? And can we desire to know the will of God like Jesus? We have one account of his childhood. He's 12 years old. Where was he? Where was he at 12 years old? Where did they find him? In the temple. And what was he doing? He was sitting with the elders, with the Jewish teachers. He wasn't teaching. What was he doing? He was asking questions. He was searching. He had been studying the scriptures, and there were passages, no doubt, that he wanted more insight on. And I imagine what took the teachers back was that he would ask them about certain prophetic passages, probably about himself. And when he would ask the question, they would see how diligent he had been to learn. Can we do that? Can you search the scriptures? Can you read the Bible? Can you seek out help to learn and grow spiritually so that you can grow and to get to know the ways of your Heavenly Father? Yes, every one of us can do this. We can become like Christ in this way. And you know how important this was? From the time Jesus was 12 to the time of his baptism, how much information do we have? Zero. And yet he shows up at the Jordan River to be baptized by his cousin, or first cousin, John the Baptist. And there, being baptized, we don't know that he's preached a single message. He's not done a single miracle. All he's done is probably run the carpenter shop, because we don't have any record of Mary's husband, Joseph, after his early life. So if something had happened to Joseph, Jesus was probably at home taking care of mom and the family, being a carpenter, doing well. And he shows up at the baptism, not even having begun his public ministry, no miracles, no teaching. And as he's baptized and comes out of the water, the heavens part. The Holy Spirit comes down as a dove and lights upon him, and a voice is heard. And do we remember what the voice said? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am. No miracles. No messages. Can we live our life in such a way that it's well-pleasing to God? Isn't that what Paul pleaded with the Romans in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that we might prove what is the good, pleasing, and acceptable will of God. Can we live this way? Yes, we can grow in our salvation. We can love our Heavenly Father. And in particular, loving our Heavenly Father, we can become a son who delights to do God's will. Can I plead with us as a Christian? If you're a Christian or if you have been introduced to religion and somehow in your mind it became the way of faith, those people who don't do certain things, can I appeal to you to get rid of that thought? I'm not tempted to go drink out of the toilet. Does that make sense? When I take out the trash, I hold it as far away from me as I can. I don't want it even dripping on me. When you discern good and evil properly, you don't want it. Paul said, the things that I once thought gain, I now count lost, and I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And I guarantee it, Jesus didn't walk around feeling bad about all the things He couldn't do. He was too busy fully enjoying doing the will of His Father. He was full of life. He's the Son who the Scripture said in Hebrews and in Psalms. I think I have the Psalms. Let's see, I do. Psalm 40, verses 6 and 8. This is of Jesus. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it's written of me. And here's the key. I delight to do thy will. Can I encourage you something? If you haven't discovered this delight, there is more for you to discover. I live to delight to do the will of God. Amen. I serve the Lord with gladness. And I come before His presence with singing. Because I know the Lord, He's God. It's He that has saved me, not me myself. I'm His person. I'm the sheep of His pasture. So you know what I do? I enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I am thankful unto Him. I bless His name. Why? Because my God is good.
Amen.
And His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth unto all generations. I can be a son who shows the world that my Heavenly Father takes very good care of me. And what's beautiful about this is every one of you can do this. This is what the people in your life need to see. They need to see what a delight it is for you to serve the Lord. They expect the preacher to be spiritual, don't they? They expect the Sunday school teacher to be spiritual. But what about all your people in your life? Your friends at school, your neighbors, your co-workers. When you walk and live by the Spirit of God, and when you're serving the Lord joyfully, you're telling them, my Father is good, and it's serving Him is good. I have found he who loves life and would desire to see good days. Put perversity away from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And I want His eyes upon me. I want His favor upon me. Because better is one day in my Father's court than 1,000 days elsewhere.
Amen.
That's the way we should live. And being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ means we love our Father like He did. You remember what Jesus said? The world must learn something. That the Son loves the Father. And He always does what He says. Man. That's 1 John. Let's look at that. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And if you love God, look what it says. And His commandments, will you say it? Are not grievous. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And when you get in the yoke with Jesus, what do you find? Rest for your soul. That's the testimony. See, loving obedience to our Heavenly Father, that's the heart of a son. That's the heart of a son who loves his father. Let's don't be like the prodigal. Remember, the prodigal didn't really know his dad. He lived there all of his life, but he knew his dad was rich. So he said, "Hey, Dad, can you give me my inheritance early?" And off he went with his inheritance. And what did he do? Like a lot of us, we squandered what we had by riotous living. I've done that. It's my past. We made a fool of ourselves. We made our own mess. We dug our pit and we fell into it. And while he was there, remember what it said? He ended up hired out by a farmer and given the job of feeding the pigs. And it says he was so poor. No one helped him. No one helped him at all. He even longed to eat what the pigs were eating. That's pretty low. And then what happened? He came to himself. What does it mean he came to himself? He suddenly thought about his father. My father treats every person in his place better than this. And suddenly he remembered, my father is good. I'm going to go, it'd be better to be a servant in my father's house than live like I'm living. And you know what happened? He, on the way home, his father wouldn't have it. He saw him from afar off and the father ran to him and fell upon him and kissed him and just restored him immediately back to what he had always wanted, the relationship he had always wanted. And that's true with us. When we come back to God and when we realize our Heavenly Father is good, we draw near to Him. And what does He do? He draws near to us. We can all do that.
Amen.
We can all do that. This is part of what it means to become like Jesus, is to love our Father like Jesus loved Him. That's part. That's one. What's the next thing? He's a servant who loves his neighbor. We can be that. Jesus met the needs of the people. This is what Paul wrote about Jesus. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Wow. You know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is not that he is so perfect and we are so imperfect. That's a... By comparison and contrast, a lot of people think that they're glorifying Jesus by saying, I'm nothing, I'm terrible, I'm so bad, I'm so inconsistent, don't look at me, look at Jesus, he's wonderful. Well, I understand your heart. It's a good desire to make sure that they know that Jesus is the one that's good. But what's beautiful about Jesus is every perfection you see in him was designed for you and I to use. His wisdom, we need to use it. His counsel, we need it. We need to hear it. His purity, we need it. His spirit, we need it. And all the fullness of God dwelt in Christ bodily so that you and I could actually partake of it and receive it and be changed by it. We participate in the divine nature. That's what's really glorious. He's not some museum piece that we look at and say, wow, how wonderful. But the sign at the bottom says, don't touch. We get to touch him. And when we touch him, like the woman with the issue of blood who had spent all of her money on doctors and was not any better, the moment she touched the hem of his garment, what happened? The blood within her stopped flowing and she was healed immediately because power from him flowed into her. And that's when you've touched the Lord. Power from him flows into you. That's the glory he has. It's a glory that is transferable to whatever need we have. As a mom, as a worker, you got a lousy boss, you need power from Christ to flow into you when you go at work. You're married to a slob or a louse. No one here is, of course. But if there were that situation, you need Christ to be with you in that marriage. You got a neighbor who complains if your tire gets too close to his side of the driveway? You need Christ. You need Christ. And his power and his life can be there. And you can actually live your life with Jesus, being a blessing to others. Living for others. Because what did Jesus say? It is more blessed to
give
than to receive. And he said that if a person tried to save his own life, what was he going to do with it? The person tries to save his life will lose it, but the person who willingly loses his own life for Jesus' sakes will find it. He'll save it. He'll find life the way God intended for it to be. Because I guarantee you what, you're looking at a person that gets to do what I want to do every day. I get to do what I want to do every day. And if I wanted to smoke pot, I would. If I wanted to shoot up, I would. I did all that stuff. I have found something better. Serving my Lord is the best thing I've ever found.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just, where is that joy in this world? Man, if we're not careful, Satan is going to make the church the place where you go and don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. What is that? Is that a gospel that the world wants? Look, they want to know. Look, if it doesn't even work with us, if it's not even making you happy, why would you want them to have it? If it doesn't even work for you, why would you even try to get anyone else to believe it? We need to discover how rich and how wonderful it is. And you know what's going to happen when we do that? We're suddenly going to become witnesses. Suddenly, someone's going to be interested in saying, hey, how do you live that way? How are you always like that? What is your secret? And you know what that is for you? That's an open door to give glory to Jesus. We can be that. We can become Jesus like that, in, like that way. There's one illustration that one command, by the way, and one illustration that really illustrates this. For the new covenant, the first covenant had 618 different laws. So Jesus came to make a new covenant, right? And he only gave one commandment. The first commandment for Moses, 618 laws. Jesus, new covenant, one commandment. What was that? Let's read about it right here. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And do you remember how he illustrated this? His disciples were all reclining at the meal. If you've seen a picture of the Last Supper, if you've seen it accurately, they're laying down on pillows with the table in the center. That's how they ate. The table and the food would be served in the center, and they're all reclining, head toward the table, feet away. And you know what they were doing as the supper was getting started? The disciples were arguing. You remember what they were arguing about? Who's the greatest? Who's favorite? Who's better? I know more than you. I mean, you know, they're just doing typical human stuff. And you remember what Jesus did to speak to the argument? Remember what he did? Over in the corner, he's off. What does he do? Takes off his outer cart and he takes a towel. He goes to where the servants' quarters were and he gets a towel and he wraps it around his waist. And he goes and he gets a bowl and he pours water in it. And he begins to kneel down and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And he comes to Judas. What do you think he did? He washed the feet of the man who he knew was about to betray him. And in an illustration, he said, you may not fully understand what I do now, but you say, I am Lord. That's true. But the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve you. If you want to be like me, you remember what Jesus said to Peter? After Peter had denied the Lord those horrible three times, and Jesus had been seen, and he came back to Peter to fully restore him. And remember those probing questions Jesus asked him? Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Remember what Jesus said? Each time, what? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my lambs. Peter, are you really my friend? Lord, you know everything. You know I'm your friend. Feed my sheep. You know how you can be like Jesus? You can be a person who lives your life to be a blessing to others. To serve others. That's who he was. You don't need to work miracles. Work a little kindness. Light up the corner where you are. Simple and simple. And lastly, he is a Savior who lays down his life. Now, he's not asking you to die upon a wooden cross. But you know what? Jesus did say this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, it's kind of difficult to serve others if you've got to serve yourself first. Some of you would be here on a work day, but you have something else to do. Some people come to church if there's not somewhere else to go. Some people would come to Bible study if that certain program didn't come on at the same time. You have to lay down your life to be able to have a life to give away. You can't serve two masters, can you? If you're so busy serving yourself, you know what others are getting? The leftovers. Is that what you want? The leftovers? We have a food ministry. And I'm convicted about this food ministry. And we do a food ministry a certain way. You know how we do it? We have a list. It's a sign up. First come, first serve. Some that are here can tell you this. First come, first serve. When we hate to turn people away, so our list keeps growing. We don't know what we're going to do. We keep having this problem. It gets longer and longer. We started off with about 18. Then we went 20, then 25, then 30. Now we're 35. We 40, 45, and we're still pressing more. But here's our conviction. The first person on the list and the last person on the list are going to get the very same thing. I'm not giving away crumbs. If they make the effort to get here, they're going to get our very best. That's just a conviction I have. And I want others to have some of my quality time. That's what Jesus Christ laid down his life before he ever made it to the cross. He had been denying himself. He said foxes have holes. Birds have a nest. And the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's homeless. The Son of Man was homeless. But you know, he didn't have a problem someone trying to help him out, giving him a place to stay. You know why? Because any place he stayed, he probably would have been the one doing the dishes, sweeping the floor, helping to serve the meal, making sure everyone else was okay. That would have been Jesus. That would have been Jesus. Lay down his life. Look, this is what the scripture says. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? How can you see that there is a need and not care? How can you do that? How can you do that? I want to ask some of you something. How can you know that a group of people are going to be here to try to help and you have some kind of strength and you're not going to make any attempt to help? How? How? How's that possible? How can you be comfortable living that someone else will do it? That's not Jesus. Simply being conformed to Jesus means deny yourself and dedicate your life. Lay down your life for others. This is what he goes on to say in this verse. My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We know we are of the truth by doing the truth for others. Truth is something we do. It is something we do. This is what he said in John 15. Jesus said this. John recorded it. These things I've spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see the connection there? You know, if our lives are not full of joy, if we are not experiencing a joy-filled life, you know why? It's probably because you're not loving others like Jesus loved you. You see the connection? If you love others like Jesus loved you, His joy will be fulfilled in you. That's what he was saying. Greater love has this, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. And you know, I can tell you this. If you look at the teachings of Jesus, if you look at the teachings of Jesus, you will find about 90% of them are what he wants us doing, not what he wants us not doing. Because you know what? When you are fully enjoying serving the Lord, you'll be far less tempted to do other things. A lot of people first come to the Lord and it's a major change because they're going so fast, they're slamming on the brakes and it's a major disruption. That's not how God wants you to live your life. He wants you to change direction, yes. But when we gain some momentum and strength and joy in serving the Lord, you don't have to keep riding the brake. Don't you just love riding someone down the highway? It makes me sick if someone's constantly putting their foot on the brake. I want to drive carefully, but I want to enjoy the road. I don't want to treat the road like, oh no, I might have a wreck. I live with someone who sees things differently than I do. She's a help to me. But her and that brake have a relationship that I don't have. Anyhow. Laying our life down for our friends is what's going to fill our lives with joy. That's what's going to fill our lives with joy. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, I am pastor here now. But there was another pastor before me. And you know what I used to love to do on Sundays? I get here early now because I'm the pastor. You know, when he was the pastor, I got here at the same time. I followed him. I saw him make the coffee. I started making the coffee. I followed him around how he unlocked the doors. I would get here before he would and do what he did so that he wouldn't have to. Now, I'm not trying to talk anyone here. If anyone wants to do that, that's fine. I enjoy it. I'm not trying to get you to do it because you need to. But I was enjoying it as much then as I am now. That's all I'm saying. I want to do what I do. You know, people are afraid of burnout. I understand. There is a danger of burnout, but why does a lamp usually burn out? A lamp usually burns out not because of the wick. It's because it's out of oil. It's out of oil. Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy. That's why he never burned out. He was full of joy. And when we're full of the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we are strong in His joy, we serve Him with gladness. And we love every minute of it. Now, can we do that? Can we become like Jesus in this way? Can we love our Father? Can we treat His word as thank you? Can we appreciate His counsel? Can we love the Scripture? Can we be so grateful? Can we delight to do His will? Yes. And can we live as a servant to bless others, to love our neighbors, ourselves? Yes, we can. And can we lay down our life for our brothers and sisters? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. This is part of what it means to be conformed to His image. All right, let's pray.